honestly, what are we doing? Racing or ping pong?
Welcome to episode 9 of the Ping Pong Racing Podcast. Why is it called the Ping Pong Racing Podcast? Because our opinions go back and forth after every single race. Joining me today to review Germany, review the amazing German Grand Prix that we just witnessed, and preview the Hungarian Grand Prix next week, I have Bentley, my usual co-host. How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Did you like co-host as a term?
It's not bad. I can't really complain, to be honest, can I?
You can use that as a job title, so. Podcast co-host.
I've got my CD.
And I mean, you know, just for starters, I mean, what a Grand Prix that was.
Amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to get too much into it at the moment, but because we'll discuss it in due course. But yeah, I mean, I'm glad I watched that 100%, because I'm not sure, I might not be around. We'll see, I might not be around next week to watch all of the Hungarian Grand Prix, so. But definitely, I mean, that, and obviously Britain was a really good race, and Austria was a really good race, and F1 just seems to be on a bit of a roll at the moment, so. And funnily enough, yeah, I think all three of those races. Well, actually, Britain doesn't. Austria and Germany involve Mercedes not doing very well as well, so it's a bit of a weird correlation, that, isn't it? So let's get into the predictions that we made for the German Grand Prix. So I didn't ask John. I was, put my hands up. I forgot to ask John for any predictions. He wasn't on the podcast, so I've just got myself and Bentley to go by. So, I mean, my predictions are pretty awful. I predicted Bottas to get pole. He didn't. Fastest lap Gasly. He didn't. Hamilton first, he didn't get on the podium at all. Leclerc second, he crashed out. Bottas third, he crashed out. Fastest pit stop. I mean, we'll have to admit, at this time of recording the podcast, the DHL pit stop award isn't available. So unfortunately, Bentley had one job for this podcast, which was to find out what the fastest pit stop was, and he hasn't even been able to deliver that. So, I mean, should we take 3 points off of that? Oh, I don't know. Just saying.
You can take a point off because it's fine.
You've got a nice healthy lead. It won't last long, but I'll let you have it for now.
Can we take the point off of DHL just in general?
Yeah, DHL have got -1 points on our prediction. So we're not able to do that, unfortunately, at this time. Unless
what we'll do is when we put out the post race predictions, we won't put it out until we get the DHL things done. So you have the points up there, so you know who actually got it. Probably going to be me because I'll put Red Bull.
Yeah, sounds good. So I mean, wild card. I didn't pick a wild card. I get no points for the weekend, so I'm still on 40. In terms of Bentley gets all the points. Well, not all the points technically, but a lot of the points. I mean, Hamilton pole, 3 points. Verstappen fastest lap, 3 points. Again, you picked Hamilton Leclerc first and second, which obviously didn't happen. You did pick Verstappen third, though, so you get a singular point for that. Fastest pit stop again, Red Bull, which we can't confirm tonight at this moment in time. And the wild card was whether to play part in the qualifying or race, which
I spoke about. I spoke to you about
mean,
that.
Do we reckon it played
Thursday.
A part in the race?
Fuck off, mate.
Of course. I mean, you know, of course that was true. So
I actually called you, didn't I? And I said that I had that one in there. That one was guaranteed because we knew that there was going to be a thunderstorm. And I got to, because they said there was meant to be rain on Saturday. I got to you on the Thursday and I said, I've got these points in the bag. And it got to Saturday and there was no rain. I was like, oh no, you're joking. And he told me this morning that it was absolutely pissing it down. German was like, yes, 3 points.
Yeah, I mean, the Sky account posted I'm trying to think of when it was, about 1 o'clock maybe, posted a quick gif of Ted Kravitz, and he's like, oh my God, I've been waiting all year for this. This is a wet race, you know. He's like standing there at the end of the pit lane whilst all the cars are waiting to go out onto the grid. Oh, bless him. And then they put a tweet like after the race, and they were like, Ted Kravitz was right to be excited. It's like, yep. Ted Kravitz knows his stuff. Ted does know his stuff. So, at the end of the day, you got 10 points from that. So, congratulations, you're in the lead now. John is on 39 because he didn't add any more because I forgot. I didn't get a single point, so I'm on 40, and you're on 47.
Woo!
Got a whole 7-point lead, so watch out.
I could possibly be 10 points ahead.
Potentially, yeah. Despite the fact that, just for those who can't see, on our graphic, so Bentley's done a graphic this week for the predictions. He has put Williams as red for fastest pit stop, even though the fact he doesn't know who the fastest pit stop is. He's so confident in Williams that they're not going to be the fastest. He's already put red round there, despite the fact that Kubica was fastest for 2 weekends.
Yeah, and then Red Bull were fastest for 2 weekends.
Yeah, but why have you coloured it in red?
Because I know that
that's
I'm
going to... That's bias. That is teamist. That is. You are being teamist. It's just because you can't... It's just because you can't appreciate a good old Brexit British team. You know, you got to go with this fancy-ass Austrian team, you know, with the Lederhosens and their schnitzels and whatever, you know.
But anyway, so what we'll do is we'll, as soon as the Pit Stop Award comes out, I'll put it up and then we'll have it up on there. So that one is a subject to Stewards' Inquiry until we find out.
Yeah, because the stewards haven't bothered to look at the replay yet.
Where's the replay button?
I think they've had more important things on their mind, to be fair. But I think we should move on from this before it gets into any arguments.
Yeah, definitely. Let's have a bit of a race recap, because so much went on. I think it'd be fine if we go for each team. So it's meant to be best to worst, but it's not really. I mean, the race recap, if we start with the champions, Mercedes, you know, feel free to put any points in you want, or feel free to mention anything. The Bottas crash, Bottas pushing really hard to try and overtake Stroll for what I think was third. You know, the team was trying to push him on. He was pushing. I think he admitted that, yeah, he pushed a bit too hard. Spun, did a 360 on turn one. Yeah, lost it. And it was one of those, especially the way they were doing it on the TV, where you didn't really know it was coming. I think it was in the background of someone. Like, they were watching someone go down to turn two, and I think he's in the background just spinning, and they're like, oh, shit. Bottas is, you know...
Hamilton did it a lap before, and then Bottas went and did that. It's amazing how they were struggling to get past.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, maybe it just shows the car's not good in the wet. I mean, we had that amazing pit stop, the Lewis going off at turn 16, which I'd just like to say, I've got a list here of the people involved with turn 16.
Because of slicks, it was the slick tyres, was not getting grip on them, whereas the intermediates and the rets were at least giving them that little bit of tread that they could just get something, they could get a little bit, because Raikkonen also went off there for the track strip as well, and managed to just keep it out of the ground.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I mean, Kimi was one of the several drivers who, if not most of the drivers, who went wide, so, I mean, it really affected all drivers. I mean, you know, I think there should be a petition started for that to be the new World of Champions, you know. But yeah, I mean, that pit stop from Mercedes was cringeworthy.
That was just so
and I understand.
They didn't know he was coming. They were prepared for Bottas. They didn't know he was coming. They didn't have the front ring ready. They didn't have any tyres ready for him.
Well, that's the thing I can understand, because obviously the last corner is right where the pit entry is. And did Hamilton get that penalty in the end for the pit? I don't think he did. Did he?
He did. Yes, that was a 5 second time penalty.
Because he got a 5 second time. He got two penalties, didn't he? Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, he didn't get a penalty for the
The safety car one.
He didn't get a penalty for that.
Right. So he just got the penalty for the thing that the argument they made on Sky about that. Before we come on to the actual pit stop itself, the argument they made on Sky is, yes, it was unsafe, and yes, he obviously did it later than he should have, but at the end of the day, the decision he has there is he either has to drive backwards on track. He goes into the pit where he went, you know, considering how the conditions were, and he's struggling to control the car anyway, and he lost his front wing, or he does another lap of the track. And surely, you know, they were saying on Sky, obviously it's a penalty, but surely, you know, you have to think, well,
in those circumstances.
Yeah, in those circumstances, with the conditions how they were, he just lost his front wing, surely you don't want him going around another lap, because if he tried to do another lap, I don't think he would have made it round. But I mean, yeah, like the pit stop thing where, yeah, he comes in last minute. I mean, there were people who, they were literally running around, because I think one of the people, I think, was trying to put two different sets of tyres on the car, because obviously you're not allowed to do that. You have to put the same set of tyres on the car. And they were like, you know, I think they brought out some tyres and they looked and checked it, you know, under the blankets, and were like, oh crap, no, that's not the right one. Someone like ran back in, tried to find some more. And I think, you know, someone did say though, you know, he had a 50 second pit stop, I think someone said. Yeah, he came out in like fifth. That just shows you like the Mercedes dominance. I know he wasn't a million miles ahead of everyone, but... And then, yeah, Hamilton struggling at the end. I mean, we had all these rumours, or some of them rumours, some of them not, about him, you know, his illness, or him being ill. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think that came, especially towards the end, where Hamilton was struggling?
I think so, yeah. I think his illness was just getting the best of him. See, when he's ahead, he can manage it, and he can dictate... Whereas he was having to chase, which puts a lot more pressure on you, a lot more stress. I think it just got the better of him.
Because I mean, they were talking to Rosberg on, because he's part of the Sky coverage team, and he did say some really nasty comments about Lewis. I think something towards the, I can't remember the exact comments, unfortunately, but I'm sure he said something towards the idea of that he was sort of making it up a bit, which I do get sometimes. Like, Hamilton does seem to play to the, you know, like, he's had somewhere, he's like, oh, the tyres are a bit, you know, off, or, you know, we're losing pace or whatever, and it seems like he's, you know, he's putting in, like, fastest laps of the race, and you're like, come on, mate. But I think, like, seriously, with this one, I think, yeah. I mean, when you see that, you know, he finished behind the Williams. Did he finish behind the Williams in the end? I think he did, didn't he? Yeah.
No.
No, he overtook. He definitely overtook Russell. I don't know about Kubica, so let me have a quick look.
He took both of them. He was trying to get Magnussen to 10th
place. I should just say, in case something does come out after this recording, that at this moment in time, we haven't heard anything about the Haas has been disqualified. So there, at the time of recording, there's a, we've seen the document that both Antonio Giovinazzi and Kimi Raikkonen have been investigated for not starting under their own power, which is a little bit of a weird one. So I'm not quite sure if that means that they're having help or the car's set up in a way that gives them some help.
I would like to point out that it's not the Haases, they are the Alfa Romeos.
Sorry, what did I say? Sorry, the Alfa Romeos of Kimi Raikkonen and Antonio Giovinazzi. Apologies. Yeah, I mean, Ferrari, I mean, the unsafe release on Grosjean, I personally thought it was an unsafe release in the pit lane. Yeah. I know there's a lot of cars about, but it's still an unsafe release. I don't think it even got picked up by the race stewards.
Yes, it did. He got fined while the team...
Oh, did he? Oh, okay. Sorry, I must have missed that then. I didn't even see it picked up at all.
At which point, Crofty had a meltdown and said that it should have been some sort of penalty to the team for the race because of the fact of all it does is basically just show teams, we can get away with stuff.
Yeah, 100%. 100% agree. Well, yeah, because I mean, the thing is, at the end of the day, Grosjean, I know Grosjean might not messed up his race hugely, but he did have to brake quite significantly if you look at his on board. He shouldn't have to do that in the pit lane at the end of the day, so.
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, the Leclerc crash. Really feel for him. Not a big fan of Leclerc, but you got to feel for him. There's the uncensored radio message as well that's been posted on the subreddit where he's basically just saying the F word. There's also a bit in it that's quite cute where he says, what is it?
No! The folks... Ah, no, come on, Charles.
And you're sort of there and you're like, aww. And then you're like, actually, he's a Formula One driver and you're like, eh. A little bit in the wrong place and then you just slide to the barrier, so...
It was quite funny seeing him just have a... Have a Mercedes boarding on top of him. That was quite funny.
I can't lie. It was.
Vettel had an amazing race, like on the 20th. I wrote him off as well.
Well, I mean, even it's funny race. Because even he was in fifth come the last restart. No one really, like, I was talking to a few people at the time. No one really talked about it though. Yeah. Like, so what? Yeah, it was like, oh, you know, Stroll, Gasly. Who is it? No, not Gasly, sorry. Stroll, Kvyat, Sainz are going to battle for third place. And then Vettel just came through and just went, see ya. And just took second.
See ya, Sainz. See ya, Stroll. See ya, Kvyat.
He did, again, challenging race for Vettel through no fault of his own. He did what he could at the end of the day. And I know he's you know, we've talked shit about him this season. But at the end of the day, he's had some, especially in the last few races, I think he's been quite unlucky with some of the stuff he's had. And obviously in Britain, the race wasn't unlucky, but... You know, there's been a few incidents in the last few races where he's been a bit unlucky, and he's finally got some luck, and he's, to be fair to him, he's taken it, so...
I think we should move on to the Honda teams, because they had a pretty solid...
We can just work our way down. I mean, Red Bull, I mean, Verstappen won, he had a poor start, did a 360,
Gasly up until he decided to go full-on fucking gangbusters and try and take on... Albon.
Yeah, I mean, this is the thing. Gasly in the early parts of the race actually wasn't too bad and looked like he was fairly competitive. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what it was, but towards the end, I'm not sure again if it's bad strategy or what, but he found himself in his usual lower points finish positions.
Yeah.
And then there's this bizarre incident. Do you want to talk through it?
Albon's drifted to the left.
Okay.
And then as Gasly's tried to jink to the right, Albon actually...
Yes, that's right. Sorry, yes. Yeah, that's right. He goes to the left, and then as he goes to the right...
He's just mistimed it. It was just...
Yeah, but at the end of the day, I mean, whose fault is it? It's Gasly's, isn't it, at the end of the day? Because he's the one who's...
Gasly's, 100%. Albon's done nothing.
You know, Albon can defend how he likes at the end of the day, as long as he doesn't move across too erratically, which I don't really think he did. He's all in the clear, really. Yeah, so, I mean, moving on to... I mean, we'll go down the order as I've got them, because it's probably the easiest way. I mean, Renault, Ricciardo had... It was found out he had engine 1, so you get, I think, 3 engines of the season at the moment. For whatever reason, Ricciardo, I think, had either still got engine 1 or had reverted back to engine 1.
He went back to engine 1 because they wanted to put the new engine in for Hungary.
Yes.
Because they believed they had a better chance of getting good points finishes.
Yes,
and they were right.
That's correct. Well, I mean... To be fair, I think Ricciardo probably could have got some points here, but nothing major, I don't think, personally. But yeah, I mean, it was the usual, just smoke out the back of the engine, really. Gets into, I think it was Gasly's eyes. And then Hulk, who, I mean, really sad. I really felt for him, because I honestly felt like he was going to get a podium today. And he would have got a podium, because where he was at that time, if he'd finished ahead of Kvyat, where he was ahead of Kvyat,
he would have been second.
He quite easily could have been second, yeah. If he'd managed to get a gap between, you know, Vettel was overtaking all the cars, if he could form a bit of a gap in front, then he easily could have got second. And I really feel for him, but at the end of the day, with performances like that from Hulk, I have to think, is he ever going to get a podium, bless him? And unless he moves to like a Red Bull and he gets a more consistent chance of, you know, rather than getting one or two chances a season to get on the podium, if he moves to Red Bull and he gets, you know, a consistent chance of getting on the podium, it's really sad, because he's a guy I really like, and he did really well in the formulas coming up, and I don't think he's quite good enough under these situations.
Say what you will about him, funniest crash I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, I mean, like you were saying, the speed at the crash just was comical. As much as inside I was like really gutted for him. And
Well, the thing is, you messaged me, and I don't think I've ever seen you shout down your phone, but that was pretty much you shouting down your phone. Mm.
I don't use caps too often, but yeah. I mean, Norris, the thing is, Norris and McLaren, the one we'll come on to next, Norris had a technical issue, I think, and which was funny, because he came, where is it, just before the stadium section, had to pull off for a technical issue, and in the background, Lance Stroll is spinning.
Yeah.
Background.
Technical issue. Like
20 minutes after he crashed, he sent an unbelievable Jeff tweet on Twitter. It's like, I don't know, Norris, what does he do first thing he gets out of the car? Goes and sends a tweet. but yeah, I mean, Renault would need to bounce back. McLaren was struggling for pace throughout much of it. Sainz was not too bad. He was in the early points for a lot of the race. And then, yeah, like I said, Norris. Norris was at the back throughout. Didn't really have a great strategy. They left him out on the tyres, alongside like the Williams and that, and Magnussen. And yeah, it really wasn't going very well for him. Alfa Romeo, solid points, finished in P7, P8, subject to what we just talked about earlier, with the starting under their own power investigation. Kimi was pushing at the start, I mean, P3 throughout the first few laps. I mean, like everyone else, they were struggling with the car, but didn't do too badly. Sort of went away a bit in the middle of the race, I think, when cars on better strategies, or some of the faster cars that were coming through the field, you know, your Vettels, your Verstappens and your Leclercs were coming through. Well, not Leclerc, but you know what I mean, like your Vettel, basically.
Come on, Charles.
Toro Rosso, Albon did well, running consistently in the top five, however, I think he got beat again on cars that were on better strategies, tyres, the Vettel, etc. So he ended up finishing in P6. Daniel Kvyat, don't think he made a single mistake, Kvyat. He's one of the few drivers today that I don't remember seeing on the replays at all. Like, for anything other than passing, you know, thoroughly deserved the podium today after overtaking Stroll in the final few laps. And yeah, I mean, like I said, you compare him, his drive today, almost a perfect drive in my opinion, possibly even perfect in the car to get a podium versus Gasly, and there's just no arguments, there really isn't. Again, stop me if you want to say anything. Racing Point, Perez crashed early on. Apparently there's a stat where he's not finished a lap in the wet this season. I don't really know how many laps in the wet we've had, but apparently Perez has, either when there's been a race in the wet, apparently he's crashed out either prior to or on the same lap it started raining. I don't know, you'll have to take that with a huge asterisk, because I can't prove that, but I saw it on Twitter and it was getting a bit of viral attraction. So apparently he's not finished a race in the wet this year. And Stroll struggled on the right strategy initially, again was at the back with like Norris and the Williams. But I think they made a call to go to the slicks, and it paid off massively, because he just went up and up and up, really. And that's what gave him a shot at the podium. I mean, he was even leading the race at one point. Lance Stroll led a Grand Prix.
Yeah.
It was only for like half a lap before Verstappen got past, but he still led a Grand Prix. And they're saying like he's the first Canadian since Jacques Villeneuve to lead a Grand Prix and all this. And I don't know. Just, I wasn't expecting it. To be fair, I looked at the standings now. He got after that fourth place. He's ahead of Perez by a decent amount of points now. I think by about 7 or 8 points. So, fair play to him. He's not Daddy Stroll anymore. He's number one Stroll.
Funny.
And then the last two teams, Haas. Again, Grosjean and the Leclerc's unsafe release, having to brake heavily in the pit lane. Magnussen being left out on the wrong tyres and suffered a lot. You know, again with the Williams with Norris. I mean, Magnussen was a lot higher up though than, because Norris was sort of mid to, I think Norris was outside the points when a lot of the guys pitted. Williams were obviously at the back, but Magnussen was, I think, top five, top six. And so, you know, people were coming in the pits and he's just getting overtaken left, right and centre, bless him. And it's not really a feeling you want. But they sort of experimented, which I guess is better than what Williams did, which where Williams just left both their cars out, where Haas went, we'll bring Grosjean in, change him and leave Magnussen out. So at least they got one car either way. But yeah, Haas managed to get P9, P10. Again, if depending on the Alpha stuff, they might get P7, P8, which will be a really big win for them. But and they even clipped. I don't know if you saw down towards the hairpin, they did clip again. So they ignored Steiner's, because I think they had Steiner on the pit wall this weekend, didn't they, for Sky? And, you know, they ignored his instructions. So, yeah. And then Williams, I mean, they've got the two best results of the season in the last two races. I know it might not all be down to Williams himself, it might be more down to retirements, but still, you've got to tell what you can get. P14, P15 in Britain, and P12, P13 in Germany. Like I said, depending on the Alpha stuff, they might even get P10, P11. Kubica managed to get past Russell to finish ahead towards the end, because I'm pretty sure Russell was ahead for at least the first set of pit stops. So I'm not sure what happened there, if there was some strategy change between the two of them that enabled Kubica to get ahead, where he's just quicker in the wet. And then, yeah, again, didn't change tyres like Magnussen, so we're left out to stay, and they struggle. But again, it's Williams, so they're sort of at the back. It doesn't really matter a huge amount. Anything else you want to add, Bentley, in regards to looking at the teams?
No, I think you've covered it, really.
Cool. I mean, yeah, like I was saying, you know, hopefully turn 16, the ice rink drag strip is a new world of champions, but we'll see. I mean, if that's the last German Grand Prix for a while, or certainly the last Grand Prix at Hockenheim, I mean, it's one we're going to remember. That's for certain. So, just a few questions. Would you say drivers are expected to beat the rain, or do you expect so many drivers should be caught out by the weather? You know, these are people, this is the pinnacle of motorsport. You know, should it be a rain? This is me going into, like, noob F1 territory, but I like asking these questions sometimes to you just to see what your reaction is. You know, this is the pinnacle of motorsport. You've got 20 of the best drivers in the world. Should they be, you know, should they be caught out like this, you know? Isn't it making a mockery of...
No.
No?
They're humans. They're humans, plain and simple. This is the first race we've had.
Mm-hmm.
First race weekend we've had, actually, where there's been rain.
Mm.
Enough rain to move it on to Inters.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say this is probably the biggest race in terms of how much rain we've had and how changeable the conditions were. Like, it was absolutely, like, I couldn't even keep track of how many times they were pitting.
Well, Verstappen pit five times. I think Christian Horner said between two Red Bulls, they had 9 pit stops today.
Yeah.
So.
It was one of them, and
we
saw what the ice rink looked like. That's, as soon as you touch that, those slick tyres are not going
to
grip.
It's just standing water, wasn't it? Even the slightest of touch caused some of the cars to go off. I mean, Leclerc was an example where I think he just maybe touched his back wheel. I didn't see the best angle, but it looked like he just touched his back wheel on the curb. And he was just like on a slippery road to DNF, really.
The most consistent man I've ever seen in Formula One, Lewis Hamilton, had two mistakes today.
Mm.
Three mistakes today, sorry.
What were the three mistakes, sorry? So obviously we've got the front wing one.
It was two mistakes. It was the front wing, and then it was a spin coming out of turn one. And if it wasn't for his quality, they could have ended up as they both could have ended up as DNFs. Mm-hmm. So the most consistent and the most skilled driver.
Well, that's the difference at the end of the day, isn't it? Between him and between Bottas and between Leclerc, that he's got that experience.
Yeah.
Like even Vettel has that experience where he can. And even Verstappen now is at that point where he's an experienced F1 driver.
Vettel doesn't have the experience anymore, but he's consistently shown that when that happens, he's not prepared for it.
But today, he was.
Yeah, because he was it most of the time. He was in traffic. And you've got to remember, for 99% of that race, before he put the slicks on and it was a dry race, he did not have the speed or the power. And everyone, they were saying that his lap times were seconds off of what everyone else was doing at the front. Until it was a dry race and he only had 3 cars to get past, that's when we saw Vettel, but that's a dry race. He didn't show me anything noteworthy during the time when it was on the changeover from sticks to intermediates and intermediates to rets. He didn't show me anything noteworthy.
Can I just interrupt you? I've just got some breaking news. It's been reported by one of the F1 journalists, Philip Horton, that Raikkonen and Giovinazzi have been given a 30-second time penalty because they would have been given drive-through penalties in the race if the error would have come up. So that means that Hamilton has been promoted to P9 and Kubica has been promoted to P10. We haven't had it officially officially confirmed yet, but that's breaking news, and if I get an official confirmation, I'll update you. But yeah, Hamilton to P9, which, I mean, in terms of championship, it's not going to be much because he only gets 2 points, but obviously Kubica's got a point. Like I said, not officially confirmed yet, but...
It does put him, that's 22 races now, consistent podiums. Consistent points finish.
Points finish, yeah, that's the thing. I mean,
It keeps his consistent points finish, which is his role going.
I mean, just quickly going back to Mercedes, I mean, the thing is, Rosberg was talking about it. I don't want to keep bringing up Rosberg because he's almost like the modern... It's almost like the modern Jacques Villeneuve in terms of some of the stuff he says. But
no, he's the Formula One, he's Formula One's answer to Katie Hopkins.
Well, bloody hell, I won't go that far.
I would go that far.
Okay. moving on. he was saying about how, you know, when he was racing Lewis, the one thing he knew he had to do, you know, he was like, when Lewis is in his zone, when Howard time's on, he's like, I can't beat Lewis. You know, he struggled to beat Lewis at his best. But what you have to do is, when Lewis has these one or two weekends a year where he's not quite on it, you know, we obviously saw it in Austria, we've also seen it today in Germany, you've got to take the most of that advantage, you know. And he's saying, you know, the thing is, Bottas will not be world champion this year and possibly might not be world champion at all because he hasn't taken advantage. You know, this was a season where, like, in Austria, he needed to win. I know the car wasn't there, but, you know, you need to try and push and get as many points as you can over your championship rival. And, like, today was one especially where he could have easily got 18 points today. You know, I mean, the gap is, what, 35, I think, or something? It's around there. So he could have closed the gap by half to Hamilton. You know, and if Hamilton has another bad race, before you know it, boom, Bottas is right next to him. But, you know, that's the thing. Bottas didn't do that. Mercedes have got to look at going forward. Do they want somebody who's going to challenge Hamilton, or do they want a number two driver? Well, we'll talk about that a bit later in the gossip column. I mean, the heroes of the race, we've got three nominations. We've got the weather, the stewards, or the race itself. So who would you like to go for?
All three.
It's a nice, happy podcast because we've had a good race and we're in a good mood. You know, the Mercedes did really badly, so we're in a good mood. We're not biased at all. what else was I going to say? Were any of the DNFs particularly surprising to you? And I don't mean in the case that, you know, oh, someone of that person's experience should have crashed out, but I know the Hulkenberg one was quite funny, but were there any way you thought that person shouldn't have DNF'd today?
Perez.
Yeah, do you know what? I will agree with you.
You can't go on the first lap and go and crash. I mean,
well,
you can't. You know what I mean.
You
just can't go and do that.
And just breaking news, it's been officially confirmed that Alfa Romeo have been penalised. I'll just read out the... just quickly read it out. So, joy turned to heartbreak for Alfa Romeo hours after the German Grand Prix as the stewards penalised Kimi Räikkönen and Antonio Giovinazzi for clutch infringements at the start of the race, knocking them out of the top 10 and promoting four drivers out of the order, including Robert Kubica, to give Williams their first point of the 2019 campaign. Räikkönen and Giovinazzi crossed the line 7 and 8 respectively, giving Alfa Romeo their best result of the season. However, soon after the race, the stewards summoned a team representative to discuss an alleged breach of Article 27.1 related to clutch torque application during race starts. The stewards found the torque in the clutch at the start did not match the torque demand as the drivers released the clutch within the specified 70 millisecond maximum period. This time was measured at approximately 300 milliseconds. This is so, like, in-depth, that's why I'm reading it all out, because I have no idea. This breach is Article 27.1 of the sporting regulations, and as a result, stewards opted to give both drivers a 10-second stop-and-go penalty, which equates to 30 seconds added to each of their race times. It means Roman Grosjean moves up to 7th, and Kevin Magnussen slots into 8th, while tragic leader Lewis Hamilton scores 2 points in 9th, meaning he extends his points scoring streak to 23 races, as Bentley just said. Whilst Kubica scores his first points since returning to F1 this season after an 8-year hiatus with 10th. It's a fine reward for a Williams team that has endured a dreadful season, lacking the pace to race in the midfield, but having appeared to make improvements in recent races, courtesy of a series of developments that have shown promise. So, congratulations to Robert Kubica on his first and possibly only point this season. Is that harsh to say? I don't really think that's harsh, is it? Let's be honest. But to be fair, they are catching up, but I still don't know if they're going to do it this season, but we'll see. So yeah, that's breaking news. We don't get a lot of breaking news during the podcast, so...
Whoop whoop.
And then the final question I've got before we move on is... Was the German Grand Prix the best race this season of several seasons? Or possibly ever that you've watched?
Yes.
To all three?
Yes.
Because I'm struggling to think... Like, the last race I think that was this good was 2011 Canada. Like, I'm struggling to think of a race since 2011 Canada that was this good, full of this much. Like, I'm really struggling.
It's Canada 2011 and then Brazil 2008.
Yeah, but I mean, since Canada 2011, I don't think there's been a race that's been this good. Maybe there was a Brazil race. I'm trying to think which one it was. Wasn't there, like, was it Vettel? Span went all the way. Actually, the Brazil Grand Prix with Ocon, was that last year, 2018? Ocon and Verstappen. That was a decent race. It wasn't quite as good as this German Grand Prix, though. But that had quite a lot of stuff going on in it. But yeah, for me personally, I think it's the best one since Canada. So. Right, let's have a look at the general gossip discussion. We've got a lot to get through, so you can fall asleep, Bentley, so feel free. If there's anything you want to add, again, as usual, feel free to stop me. If not, I'll just go like a bullet train. First bit of news, Drive to Survive. I was trying to think of like a German reference. I'm going to go like the Autobahn. Drive to Survive returns, and this time it's with all the F1 teams. So last time, if you watched the first series on Netflix, it was with Alpha, Mercedes and Ferrari. This time it's got all 10 F1 teams. Interestingly, they tend to pick a particular Grand Prix to race to actually spend the weekend with a particular team, as was per last season. And actually this season they picked Mercedes. Sorry, this weekend they picked Mercedes. So Mercedes were, you know, in and around the paddock for what was a very interesting German Grand Prix for them. So I can't wait to watch that episode, I'm not going to lie. I cannot wait. I know they've. I think Ferrari. I presume Ferrari. They're going to do the Italian Grand Prix because that would make sense. You know, in terms of, you know, explaining the team and that. So we'll see. Haas are going to continue their experiments on their car in terms of having one Australia spec, one modern spec in Hungary. And Gundersteiner has admitted they are getting closer to understanding the issues, and he's hoping they need just the one more weekend in Hungary, and then coming out the other side of the summer break, they're hoping they will be back on track. Although they're saying that. The pace wasn't a million miles off this weekend. Certainly in qualifying it looked alright, so who knows. The Mexican GP is set to get a new deal. I know we reported previously that it was going to be out the window, but it looks like it's back on the cards. I know Britain has been obviously got a new deal. Monza's got a new deal. And if this goes ahead, it will only be Barcelona and Hockenheim that will be dropped next year, although there's rumours that both of those could possibly still remain. So, but I think if all of those remain, it's going to be a 22-24 race season. But apparently they're like, well, actually now there's these rumours that Mexico's going to get a new deal, and there's rumours apparently Barcelona could get a new deal, so it might be a 22 race calendar season next year, and only Hockenheim will get dropped, which is a shame because I really enjoyed the German Grand Prix today, so it would be a shame if Hockenheim got dropped. And we've had some decent races there in the past, obviously the Vettel one last year, and generally it does tend to be one of the better tracks in my opinion. Now I apologise if I'm botching this name. Naoko Yamamoto is set for FP1 outings with Toro Rosso this season. He is the current leader and I think possibly reigning champion of Super Formula, and he's being pushed by Honda to try and get a Japanese driver into F1. I think the last person we had was Kamui Kobayashi, correct me if I'm wrong. There was Takuma Sato, but I know there's been at least one more since then. Takuma Sato, there was... Yeah, so he is set for FP1 outings as Honda, the engine supplier, trying to push for a Japanese F1 driver. They're going to try and push possibly Red Bull and push, if Yamamoto does well in FP1, to get him into one of the Toro Rosso seats next year. We'll talk about that. But yeah, you know, he's 31 years old, Yamamoto, so he's getting towards the end of... So 31-year-old Yamamoto, you know, so he's getting at the point now where he's arguably for F1, he's over the hill, but they're still going to try and push him in. And also, apparently, he's never raced outside of Asia before, which is... it'll be interesting to see how he would get on, but it looks set, especially that he would do it with Toro Rosso rather than Red Bull. There's a few rumours he might be doing FP1 with Red Bull, but I imagine with how Gasly is at the moment, unless Gasly gets confirmed as being knocked out for next season, I imagine that's not going to happen. But they're saying possibly at Suzuka, because Super Formula takes place across the Japanese tracks. They're saying, you know, if he did it at Suzuka, he's got a very good knowledge of Suzuka, so it would be very good to test there rather than go to a track he's not done before. Bentley.
Yes, so we have quite a few actually. So I'm just going to give you the names. And
I was going to say, you only need to go through like the ones from.
No, we'll go through. We'll go
yeah,
through
well, I mean, it's up to you. I don't know how many there are, so I don't want to.
There are quite a few, but I'll get through them quite quickly. So we have the first Japanese Formula One driver, which is Hiroshi Fujita.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Masahiro Hasimi,
mm-hmm.
Masami Kawashima, Noritaki Takahara,
mm-hmm.
and Kazuyoshi Hoshino.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have Kunimitsu Takahashi, Satoru Nakajima, mm-hmm. Aguri Suzuki, and
Nagatori. Yes, I do remember him, yeah.
Aguri Suzuki,
uh-huh.
Ukio Katayama, and Toshio Suzuki, uh-huh. no relation to Aguri Suzuki.
Mm-hmm.
You had Hideki Noda, Taki Inui, Shinji Nakano.
Taki Inui, why do I remember his name?
What, Taki Inui?
Yeah, wasn't he like really bad? He the one that like did like one race and crashed?
He only had a couple. No, he had quite a lot of crashes during his time in Formula 1. Anyway, so we've got Shinji Nakano, Toru Takagi,
mm-hmm.
Takumi Sato, Yuji Edi, Sakon Yamamoto, and then Satoru Nakajima's son, Kazuki Nakajima. In the 2007 Brazilian Grand Prix, mm-hmm. if you remember.
Yeah.
That's the one you kind of think of.
Yeah.
And then, obviously, our favourite of all time is Kamui Kobayashi.
Yeah.
He was famous for the Kamui lunge in Japan in Suzuka.
I'm sure this is just that's a thing you're making up, but I'll hold you
no,
to
no,
it.
No, he was famed for it at the hairpin of Suzuka.
Okay.
He was famed for diving down there at like amazing speeds and managing to get a lot of places for it. He was famed for it.
So yeah, they're previous Japanese drivers. So we haven't had anyone since. What season was it? Sorry, for Kobayashi, 2014-15.
Kamui Kobayashi. What his last?
Last race, yeah.
His last one was in 2014.
2014. So we've not had anyone for well, if it's 2020, it'll be 6 years. So they're trying to get someone in, but like I said, I really hope they don't force anyone in. Continuing on, Sergio Sete Câmara racing in F2 quite well at the moment. I think he's top 3, top 4. Well, he's rumoured to replace Kubica for 2020. I think we talked about this before, so I think this might have been a rumour that's come back around again, because I remember writing this down before, but I think at the time he was rumoured to get a McLaren seat when we did this before.
You were speaking about the fact that Petrobras were trying to get out of their.
That was it, out of their sponsorship deal. Yes, I remember now. But yeah, as the doors shut at McLaren, he looks like he might be set to replace Kubica. And then yeah, there's this 2020 F1 driver market article released on the official Formula One website. Basically, within it, we've got Mercedes talking about Mercedes will make a decision in August between. Whether Bottas or Ocon will have the second seat for next year. In terms of Renault, Hülkenberg is confident of retaining the seat, although Ocon is also rumoured to be...
Ocon.
Esteban Ocon has also been rumoured. And then Racing Point, Perez has been at the team since 2014. However, there are fears that he may leave if he finds something better. The team are quite happy to let him leave if he does find something better. And he hopes to have his future resolved by the end of the summer break. France Tost wants to keep the driver lineup from this current year. However, the end decision is from Red Bull. As he's admitted, you know, if Red Bull want to promote one of his drivers, they'll promote. If they want to get rid of one of his drivers, they'll get rid of them. But interestingly with Toro Rosso, the decision won't be made until the start of October, which I feel is really late. So I don't know if it's because they're waiting for maybe some junior formula drivers to finish their campaigns and see where they end up.
Or possibly.
Or opening, seeing what drivers are available, like for Red Bull. But I'm guessing they're going to have to make the decision on Gasly first, and then from that, you know, I think they're going to see what's going to happen. And then like I said, yeah, hopefully they don't force Yamamoto into a seat at Toro Rosso. I hope he, you know, becomes a test driver or whatever if needs be. But I don't want him to be forced into a seat and drop either a really good Albon, a Kvyat who's basically at this point, now that he's got the podium today, he's pretty much done his redemption arc. So hopefully we won't see that, because I'd hate for someone deserving, because there's enough people in F1 who, you know, are on the fence, who are on the fence sort of thing between good and bad, and they get kicked out of the sport. There's a lot of people who are in the sport who probably don't deserve to be in there, but it's really bad when people who deserve to be in get kicked out. So fingers crossed that would be one of them. Because I mean, I don't know if you remember rightly, but Kvyat got kicked out the first time at Red Bull just because Max was up and coming in Toro Rosso. There's literally no other reason for it. You know, Kvyat actually outscored Ricciardo in his first season at Red Bull. But I think he did anyway. You can hold me to that if he didn't. But I think he's actually done quite well at Red Bull. But it was just the fact that he made a few too many crashes. Helmut Marko just decided, you know, we got this young talent in Max coming through, and we'll take a large bet. And obviously, so far it's paid off. So looking ahead to Hungary, important race for a few drivers. Bottas might be his last race to impress before the decision is made on his future. And also, he's not impressed this weekend. Charles Leclerc trying to get closer to Seb in the championship again. You know, Seb's got past him again. Perry Gasly might be the last race again to impress before silly season. I don't know when Red Bull are likely to make a decision, but I don't expect they're going to wait a million light years. You know, he might have a race, possibly. He might have Spa. Might have, I don't know what's after Spa, but one of those, like sort of Singapore, maybe one of the earlier races. After that, I think he's really going to be struggling, and if a decision might even be made over the summer, possibly. So, Germany didn't help. Really didn't, you know, he could have quite easily come home in the top 5-6, but it's what it is. Renault need to bounce back after a massive loss of points due to the double DNF. Ricciardo might have only got a handful of points at most, but certainly with Hülkenberg, we would have got a load of points on the map. Easily would have put Renault top of the best of the rest. Whilst at the moment, it's now Toro Rosso because of Kvyat. So I believe. Actually, I think it might be McLaren. Not 100% sure on that. Don't hold me to that. And then Sergio Perez, who's got no points since Baku, I discovered, and has now been overtaken by Lance Stroll in the championship. So he needs to get some points on the board. I don't really know why there's this whole rumour about him leaving Racing Point to go to another team, because at the moment I don't know what teams would take Perez, because he's not exactly in the greatest amount of form. And I'm quite happily, especially after today, I think even before today I would say it, but certainly after today, Perez has been the better driver. Stroll has been the better driver than Perez in that team. And I know obviously Stroll's not going to leave no matter what happens, because his dad owns the team, but Perez is the one, I think, who, you know, I don't know where he expects to go. But if I was Perez, I'd be a bit careful, because I've not heard any solid, like, I've heard rumours that he's trying to leave and trying to get to a better team, but I've not seen any concrete rumours that,
yeah, who's going
to
take
of what team that is. Yeah, Haas maybe, because of the North, like, because he's Mexican, North America. That's the only one I can picture. I can't see him going anywhere else. He's not going to go to McLaren. He's not going to go to Renault, I don't believe.
No.
I think it's hassle nothing for him. So if I was Perez, I'd be careful, because I think he wants to stay at Racing Point. Been there since 2014. I can't see any reason why he'd want to leave now, really. I know they're not in the greatest place, but they're, you know, in transformation. And I think if he leaves, he's out of
F1. Then again, is that a bad
thing? He's not young. Yeah, no, I mean, it's not a bad thing, but the thing is, I think if, I don't know, I think if at the end of the day, if it comes to the end of the season, he's been outscored by Lance Stroll, he's got every reason to be kicked out of F1. I mean, the thing is, he is 29. He's going to be, you know, at the start of next season, he's going to be 30. And, you know, there's still time for him to come out of F1 and come back in again. But he's got, you know, he's Mexican, and I think he's got some quite substantial sponsors. You know, especially if the Mexican Grand Prix gets a new deal, there may be.
Yeah.
I think he's got to be careful. He really does. Because some people, you know, sort of go, oh yeah, you know, like Ricciardo. I think Ricciardo was hoping he was going to get to, like, you know, the Mercedes or the Ferrari seat, and, you know, he settled for Red Renault, which I think he's more than happy with. But I think Sergio really needs to be careful. I'm not saying he can't produce some results at the end of the season, towards the end of the season. You know, he's probably the one of, if not the best midfield drivers in F1 at the moment, but probably him and Hulk, I'd say. But yeah, he's got to be careful, he really does. And yeah, like I said, no points since Baku. He's now been overtaken by his teammate, because his teammate got fourth. The form guy for the Hungarian Grand Prix, pretty simple. Ricciardo's got to win, Kimi's got to win, Vettel's got two, Hamilton's got six. Hamilton has the most wins out of any driver. Dead, alive, past, present, etc, etc.
Would you like a big breath now, because you've been talking for about God knows how long?
Do I have to?
Take a deep breath. And hold your breath.
Yeah, and hold your breath until you die.
I control this podcast now.
No! That's not how it works. Right, shall we move on to the predictions?
I think we shall.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So, would you like... What do you want to start with? Pole?
Yes, I think we'll start with pole.
So, pole for the 2019 Hungarian Grand Prix. I will start with John's predictions, as I do have them. So John has gone for, he's weirdly given me the top three for pole, which I don't actually need. But he gave me Leclerc third, Hamilton second, and Bottas to get pole.
We just need Bottas.
Yeah, I know. I don't know why he gave me the top three, but maybe he just wants to be included as much as possible in the podcast. So What are your predictions, Bentley, for pole? What are your predictions for pole?
Yes.
Last time I checked, that wasn't a yes answer.
I think there'll be someone on pole.
Who do you think will be on pole?
Yes.
Who do you think will be on pole? Come on.
Verstappen.
So his first ever pole. Well, I'm saying Hamilton. Do you want to do podium next?
Is he just giving you one for podium? Or
yeah. He gave me three for qualifying and one for...
Did he give you the top five?
No, he didn't. So, John reckons it will be Hamilton, Bottas, Verstappen. So he's saying that Bottas will qualify on pole, but lose out to Hamilton, as he's done much of this season. And, we'll finish second. I'll let you go next. So you were predicting a Verstappen pole?
I'm going to go Verstappen, Hamilton,
Verstappen,
Vettel.
Hamilton, Vettel. Do you think Verstappen will not only get his first pole, but he'll be able to hold off Hamilton? I think Hamilton is going to get pole and also win the race, because he's really good around Hungary. And it tends to be a fairly boring track, in my opinion. I think Verstappen will come in second, though, and I think Vettel will come third. So, if we go on to the fastest lap, John has gone for Leclerc fastest lap. I am equally going to go for Leclerc fastest lap. And what are you going to go for, Bentley?
Hamilton.
In terms of fastest pit stop?
I'm going to go for...
Well, John's gone for Red Bull.
Red Bull.
Just to make things interesting, I will call it something else. I'm going to go for... I'm going to go for McLaren. Screw it. I believe.
You've lost 3 points.
Yeah, I probably have, but there we go. And John's wild card is that both Perez and Giovinazzi will crash at some point throughout the weekend. So, got any weird wild cards?
One of the top teams, drivers, won't make it out of... Won't make it out of Q2. One of them.
So they won't make it into Q3.
Yes, one of them won't make it into Q3.
I am going to say that there's going to be a big collision at turn one. I'm not sure who it will be, but I'm certain it will happen. Right. Those are our predictions. I'll just run through those quickly. So in terms of pole for the Hungarian Grand Prix, Bentley has gone for Verstappen. I've gone for Hamilton. John has gone for Bottas. In terms of podium, Bentley has gone for Verstappen, Hamilton, Vettel. I have gone for Hamilton, Verstappen, Vettel. John has gone for Hamilton, Bottas, Verstappen. In terms of fastest lap, Bentley has gone for Hamilton. I've gone for Leclerc, and John has gone for Leclerc. Fastest pit stop, Bentley has gone for Red Bull. I've gone for McLaren, and John has gone for Red Bull. And in terms of wildcard, we'll go the other way around. So John believes Perez and Giovinazzi will crash at some point during the weekend. I believe there'll be a big crash at turn one, like a significant rash that affects someone's race. And Bentley believes one of the top six will not make it into Q3. So this has been episode 9 of the Ping Pong Racing Podcast. We will send out a tweet when the episode is live on at Ping Pong Podcast on Twitter.
We're one away from 10. We're one away from
10. We're one away from 10. Yeah, we're one away from 10. We've got the at Ping Pong F1 Instagram account. I'm going to try and get some little clips uploaded to those. I'm going to try and get one for episode 9 done when it comes out. We're also going to try and do some going backwards for the previous episodes, just so people can sort of have an idea as to what the podcast is about on there. So if you enjoy, please feel free to follow us on either of those. And also feel free to leave a comment on any of the relevant podcast players, and we'll have a look for it and try and shout you out if you say anything positive. If you say anything negative, we're going to ignore you and not listen. So...
5 second time penalty.
Yeah. You'll get a 5 second time penalty from. So I hope you've enjoyed this episode. This has been episode 9 of the Ping Pong Racing Podcast. It's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.